Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law. But sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and the life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I had a youth in my church long time ago. His name was Brian Gurley, and he went to college and worked for a while and then decided that he was called to go in the ministry, went to seminary, and then was hired as a youth director at a United Methodist church down toward the coast of North Carolina. And he was there, and then one day contacted me and he said, I've written this article, and I really love the article, I'm going to send it to you. And he said, I wrote it for our church newsletter, but I really wanted you to read it too. And so I read it, and the article was about the fact that he was called upon by some of the youth leaders to build a cross for a special presentation to the children of the church. And so he entitled the article, Are You a Cross Builder? And that's the title of my sermon as well, giving Brian credit for that. And in it, he talked about the fact that he was building this cross, and they wanted it about 5 feet tall and 3 feet across. And he said, I'd built a lot of other crosses in my day, but this one I wanted to have as a new cross. And he said, we were getting ready for the children's event, and they were going to do different things with the cross. One thing, they would have three nails in it, and the children were going to place their sins. They were going to write their sins on a piece of paper and then place their sins on the cross and all this. This is going to be a nice visual effect. So he wanted the cross to be just right. So he picked out a nice piece of fur, and he said that he kept it in his Jeep for a while before he had a chance to work on it. And every time he'd get in the Jeep, he would smell the wood scent, and he loved that. And he had done a fair amount of woodworking in his life and said, finally decided it was time to get started on it. And he said, I took it, and he said, the first thing I did was, of course, to get it ready and to saw into the fur to make the two pieces for the cross. And he said, as I started, he said, I paused for a moment, and he said, I started thinking about the original cross builder, the one who had built the cross for Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm so aware that this cross represents Christ. He said, I wonder if way back in those ancient times, if the original cross builder was aware of what he was doing, that he was building this cross. Maybe he had built a lot of crosses. The Romans were known to use that as means of public deaths, public executions. Maybe he had made a lot of crosses for public executions, crucifixions. But he said, I wonder if the original cross builder was aware that he was making the cross for the King of all kings, for the Lord and Savior of all people, for God Himself with us. As we contemplate that, I would like for us to go together in just a few word moments of prayer, silent prayer, as we ask ourselves, as we contemplate the cross this day, are we aware, fully aware, of exactly what it means to us as individuals and as the body of Christ? Let us pray. Amen. He said then he started working on how he was going to put the pieces together, and he didn't want to just have two pieces and nail them together. He decided that he would notch the one piece and make it to where the cross beam would fit in, not flush, but at least fit in a nice way so that it really looked sturdy. And he said he was looking at that and he started making the cuts. I think he was using a router at this point to make the cut, to make the notch. He said he even chiseled some. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, I was thinking about how many times have I cut the Lord? How many times have I cut the Lord as I've been doing my life and continuing on with everything and even staying in my sins? How many times have I cut the Lord in just this way as I'm cutting this cross to make that notch so that the cross beam will fit properly? How many times have I offended God with my actions, offended God in what I've done? And he said, I wondered if the original cross builder was even aware of what he was doing as well, aware of how he was making this cross for the Lord of Lords, but how he was cutting God in the process. Was he aware of that? Let us go to God in prayer, perhaps confessing the ways in which we have cut our Lord as well. Amen. He said that when he got the piece in there and it was exactly the way he wanted it and he felt good about it, he was looking at the cross and he said, all of a sudden I thought, you know, it looks nice. It's what they were looking for. But he said, if I make angle cuts on the ends of it, especially if I make angle cuts, that'll make it look so much better. And so he said, I started working on the angle cuts to get them just right. And he said, when it finished, he said, it looks so much nicer. It was best one I'd made. And he said, I was proud of the work that I had done on that cross until all of a sudden I remembered what it is. The cross, representing the cross of Christ, representing everything that Christ did for us. He said, all of a sudden, instead of being proud, I was filled with shame. Shame for the fact that the Lord of Lords, God Himself, fully human, fully God, had to die a death on the cross for us. He said, I was filled with sadness and shame instead of pride over how good the cross looked. And he said, I was looking at it and I realized that the original cross builder couldn't make a cross that was just a handsome replica of what a cross really was used for, because the original cross builder had to build a cross that would hold a person as they struggled and died. He said, I was filled with shame and sadness. And he said, then my eyes began to water and I had to stop from what I was doing because I was crying. Let's go to God in prayer as we contemplate the shame and the sadness of the cross. Amen. He said, then it became time for him to affix the cross. And he said, so I turned it over and got it positioned just right. And I put three screws in the back. He said, I couldn't help but think Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he said, I knew that that would hold that cross beam secure and that it would not fall. And he said, again, I started contemplating what the original cross builder did. But then he said, I started thinking about Jesus on the cross and how Jesus could have so easily have commanded tens of thousands of angels to come to his aid. And he could have simply stopped all this from happening. But Jesus was held tight to the cross, not by anything that humans had made, but Jesus was bound to that cross through Jesus' love for all of us, for every generation of people yet to come. He was bound securely to that cross through love. Let us go to God and thank God for the love that bound Jesus to the cross. Amen. Said then he decided he would use some old stain that he had ready. And he said, I had a white cloth, cotton cloth. And he said, I put on latex gloves. And he said, I started dipping it in the stain. And he said, I started staining the cross. And he said, of course, you know, the wood grain was there all along, but you really couldn't see it. He said, as I stained it, the wood grains popped to life. And they were so pretty, so nice. And he said, I dipped my rag in further. And he said, I guess I had not stirred it enough. And he said, and when I started staining it this time, there were red marks that were coming out in the wood because the stain had not been sufficiently stirred. And he said, it was starting to look bad. So he said, I kept rubbing and rubbing and rubbing until I got the red marks to just sort of fade in with the rest of it. And he said, of course, I was teary-eyed all over again thinking about the fact that the red stains on the cross, the blood of Christ, and all that meant for him and for all of us, for the world, until the time that Christ comes again, the red on the cross. He said, then I removed my gloves, and I realized that one of my gloves had a hole in it, and so one of my hands was stained with that stain, even the reddish of the stain. And he said, I was thinking, oh, good grief, I'll never get that off my hands. And he said, I wonder if the original cross builder had gotten his hands dirty off the cross, or if he even cared that his hands were dirtied by the cross. He said, I took some paint thinner and poured it on my hands, and my hands were washed clean. He said, it brought back all the ways in which Christ had redeemed him, how Christ had worked with him through penitence and repentance and brought him closer to God. And he knew indeed that his hands were washed clean, that his hands were clean not through just paint thinner, but through the blood of the cross as well. In Romans, I love the fact that the word is given to us that the free gift is not like the trespass. The free gift is not like the trespass. The trespass, as we contemplate the cross, gives us grief, makes us feel ashamed, gives us great sadness, even as it cleanses us from our sins, cleanses us from the stain of our sins as well. That the free gift is so much more wonderful, so much more a part of the amazing love of God than the trespass. And the free gift continues without end, because our trespasses also continue without end. I hope that during this time of Lent, that as you are contemplating a holy Lent, that you will contemplate the shame, the sorrow, the suffering of the cross, what the cross truly represents, that you also contemplate the great love, everlasting love, that was demonstrated to us through the cross. The fact that that free gift of God stands out above all trespasses. That free gift of God is the true meaning of the cross as we contemplate building our cross each and every day. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for the ways in which you speak to us. We thank you for Brian and his awareness as he built that cross, and his ability to share that with us. Allow us, as we look upon the cross, to see it in perhaps a new and more meaningful way, and to understand the great value of the free gift of your love, your acceptance, justification, being made at one with you through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior and through his resurrection. This we pray in Christ's most holy name. Amen.